Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
called, Lord. And I pray that you just call him back to yourself. Draw him to you, Lord, so that he may see the beauty of the cross. May he remember the blood that was shed for him. May he remember that you took his sin away.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour. I am your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. It is now 8.05 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The date is July the 25th, 2016, and we are happy to be here this evening, friends. For those that's on the East Coast, God bless you for staying up with us. For those that's in the Midwest, God bless you for staying up with us. And for those who are listening now and not watching the Democratic party, you know, everything that's going on with the election, but you decide to come get fed on God's word. God bless each and every one of you. I see some new faces. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. And I'm just excited. This has been a good day. Been a great day in Christ, man. I tell you, I'm going to share that with you, and I'm going to ask people to pray for, you know, God's wisdom and God's direction in this, which opportunity has arose. And I believe that the Lord is opening up some doors for me to, you know, branch out. And but I want to pray first, and then we'll have that announcement. And again, the call-in number, 646-668-8468. You can call in right now if you want to listen live on the air, on the Blog Talk Radio program, the Prodigal Church Hour. That's Prodigal with a G, Church Hour. You can just Google that, or you can go to Minister Big Ken 65 and pull that up, and you'll be able to listen to over 600 messages that I have on the internet. And I tell you, friends, you know, sometimes, you know, God will amaze us and shock us. He is basically, he will do a shock and awe on us. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Today we're going to be talking about wisdom, taking counsel from God through the book of Proverbs, chapter 18. Seeking counsel from God through Proverbs. So we want to definitely invite him to enlighten us this evening. Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, your Son, our Lord and Savior, who bought us, who purchased us from the death trap of Satan, and he has raised us up and seated us in heavenly places. We are no longer enemies of the cross, Father. We have been set free. And those of us, Lord God, who have embraced your word, who continually seek after you in righteousness, Lord God, and when we mess up, we fess up, we get up, and we don't make excuses, Lord God. We know that we can be sure, we can be fleshly and carnal at times. We can be even downright just sinful. But, Lord God, we are not slaves to that lifestyle anymore, and we are children of the day, and you have given us wisdom, Lord God. And we just thank you for the book of wisdom. So much to learn from the book of Proverbs. So much we could teach it for the next 20, 30 years or 30,000 years and never scratch the surface of who you are. But, Lord, we know that you are a wise God. You're a loving God, a holy God, a just God, and a God of consuming fire. And your attributes and your character, Lord God, are many. And all in all, Lord, you're still God. You're still the same God who redeemed man in his sinful state, from his sinful state, and seated us and made us righteous and justified us. Lord, we ask right now that you would increase and that I would decrease, Lord God, and that your spirit would have his way this evening as we continue to seek wisdom from the book of wisdom, from the one who is all wise, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we may not only just hear the word, not only just hear what you have to say, Lord, but we would apply it to our lives so that we can be more like you and less like ourselves. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you and praise you. Amen. 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. A couple of quick announcements, and one major announcement, I should say. But one quick announcement is, if you're looking for a Bible teaching church in the city of Los Angeles, you're tired of being around sugar-coated preaching, you're tired of hearing a watered-down message, and you want to hear some sound teaching, please come check us out. Core Church of Los Angeles, located at 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. And you can check us out on the web at www.corechurchla.org, 24/7 access to the web. And you can be able to get all of the information of times of the ministries, Thursday nights, 7:30 p.m., Sunday mornings, 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 noon. The doors are open for you to come and fellowship. Even if you just want to stop by and visit, come by and visit Pastor Steve Wilburn, great man of God, Pastor Rob, Pastor Jason, Pastor Mike, a lot of good men there, a lot of people there to lift you up in the Word of God, encourage you, and stimulate you to love and good works. That's what it's about, friends, loving people with the truth, loving them with the truth. So, you know, the doors are open, and any other events, next time we have our men's prayer ministry, and if you're in the Los Angeles area, maybe you can come out and join us for that. Amen? So consider yourself being invited to that on Thursday nights. If you can make it, come join us. They're pretty soon for the ladies. They'll have Tuesday night women's Bible class where Sister Lori, I believe, is a teacher there. And there's some other female leaders or teachers there who teach the women there. So it's a lot for we're doing at the church. And most of all, friends, we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're getting people equipped. We're having discipleship, new believers classes. We want people not to just come in the front door and trip out the back. We want people to come in, grow in their faith, mature in their faith, and know how to defend their faith and stand up for the faith. We need more and more men, more women to stand up for what's true. Too many religions out there that are basically telling everybody they're the truth. And we know we're the truth because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. I can't speak about Muhammad. He didn't rise from the grave. Buddha didn't come out the grave. He's still buried. You know, Hare Krishna, you know, all the other ones, they didn't come out the grave, friends, but Jesus rose. He rose, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And I know he's alive because he's in me and he rose in me. And I know that what I used to be, I'm nothing like that anymore. I hate the sin that I have to deal with from day to day. I sure hate what I used to be. Amen? So I want you to be encouraged. Also, my big news was I had an interesting conversation with a gentleman today who is an executive radio producer for a shortwave radio program. He's a director, and he basically heard my ministry and heard some of my teaching and had invited me to basically, I could have a spot. And, you know, he said, hey, we don't just pick anybody or everybody. He says, but I like what you were saying. And we had about an hour-long conversation, and we were able to, you know, really, you know, share our hearts. And he lives back in Indiana, and this radio program is called Harvest America Radio. Harvest America Radio, and it's an international shortwave radio broadcast. They have six different areas that they go into, places where even the internet is not even there. I mean, there's places in Africa, he said, that, you know, you got 10% of the people here the internet, but they have to rent phones and go to a cafe to be able to listen to the internet or be on the internet, because the internet is not accessible to everybody's household in certain parts of the world. But this is getting out into the places in the four corners of the world where even the internet is not at, you know, able to touch. And, you know, we assume that the internet is everywhere, but less than 10%, I mean, he said is, you know, some places like in Africa and China where, you know, and places all over the world where the internet is just not accessible because it's expensive. And they haven't put up towers in those areas. And if you can get it, you have money because you got the rich and you got the poor. There's no in between. You know, there's no middle class in some of these cultures. So therefore, you know, they don't have internet access like we have in America, where even people on welfare can get it. So this is an opportunity for me to be able to take what I've already broadcast or what I already have on my website, but I can have a 15-minute spot a week. But it would cost me about $50 a month. I think it was $50. I'm not sure if it was $50 a month or $50 per 15 minutes. Whatever the case is, I just want I would only consider doing it if I had some people that supported that, stood with me, that was willing to stand up, you know. And you, hey, you pray about it and see. I'm giving it to the Lord for the next 30 days, and I'm going to just pray about it. Because if I do this, I want to be committed to it. I want to continue. I'm going to be doing what I've been doing all along. But if I can take the gospel to further people in the remotest parts of the world and be able to share this message, then it'll be an opportunity to be able to touch and reach souls all over the world. So you guys stand with me in prayer. I'll be announcing it every day. And you just keep it in prayer. And if you can sponsor it, you know, if you can stand with me, those that can, hey, I would love, you know, hey, maybe we can, we'll set up something where there'll be an account specially for that where people can donate. And if you can, you know, if that's something you feel led to do so. But if not, you know, if the doors don't open in that 30 days where I can get a consistent sponsorship of that, then I won't even bother with it. I'll just say, hey, it's not the right time for that. Amen? So with that being said, hey, let's get ready for our lesson. And we'll be coming out of Proverbs chapter 18. We're not going to cover all of it because of sake of time, and I got some things to do a little bit later. But we will cover about the first 10 verses of this, maybe 12. We'll deal with the first 12 verses, and we should be finished by between probably in the next hour. I'm planning on finish up in the next hour. So if we have prayer requests at that time, you'll be able to call in. And if you have a comment, if you just want to share your heart, anything that's going on, if you need prayer for a family member, whatever's going on in your life that you might want to share, if you don't want to share it online, hey, type it to me personally. I understand everybody's not wanting to share things out open, but if you feel like you can share it, or if you just want to have a praise report and you want to talk, you want to be able to, you know, share your heart and about anything, then we can do that. Again, the call-in number right now is 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. Let's read down, we'll cover the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 18, and then we'll go back and we'll kind of chop these up and look at what God has to say to us personally and individually as the Holy Spirit moves upon us. Amen. He says in verse 1, Proverbs 18:1, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. A fool, number two, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Number three, when wickedness comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes disgrace. Number four, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. A fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. Number five, it is not good to be partial to the wicked or to deprive the righteous of justice. Number six, a fool's lips walk into a fight and his mouth invites a beating. Wow. Number seven, a fool's mouth is his ruin and his lips are a snare to his soul. Number eight, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels that go down into the inner parts of the body. Number nine, whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. Number ten, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. And number 11, a rich man's wealth is a strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. And last one, before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Those are 12 verses of Proverbs 18. Father God, again, we ask that you bless the reading of your word and give us insight and understanding to your word as we look into it more closely. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you and say amen. And wow, a lot here, friends. It's a lot here. And a lot of times when we read these Proverbs, we read them and we act like, well, you know, I can't understand it because of the language and the culture and the expressions and things that he's using, because he's really talking in an agricultural setting. He talks about a lot of times with land and with, you know, things that have to do with the culture and the environment that was going on in that time. Remember, this was a time that it was about harvest. It was about fields. It was about crops. You know, money wasn't even a coinage wasn't a big thing during this time. It was usually basically your wealth was determined how much land you had and how big your crops were, how much your crops flourished. Noah wasn't rich because he had a bunch of money. He had much land, and his land produced many. It produced a harvest, and by that harvest, you were considered wealthy because you had cows and sheep and all those different. There was a lot of farmland going on during this time. So when you see these proverbs, they can scare you, but God in His mercy has given us, especially over the times and seasons and the time we live in with the internet, we have a lot of tools that we can go to basically look at these a little bit more closely and kind of bring them into the culture that we live in, because we live in this modern age culture. You know, they didn't have planes and trains and automobiles back during this time. So we'll look at these and we'll be able to break them down from Old to New Testament, and we'll see how they apply to us even more so like they did to those back in the day in the Old Testament. Amen. Proverbs 18:1 says in the New Living Translation, unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. Unfriendly people. Huh. You ever met people? I mean, now I live in L.A., and I see a couple of my brothers here that are in the Los Angeles area. You know, we live in a time now where you can't speak to people. You know, as much as you want to be godly, as much as you want to be polite to people, being polite now can get you cussed out or even maybe attacked in some ways, because unfriendly people are all around us. We live in a time of lawlessness. We live in a time of unlove, of lovelessness. And we see people who will basically, you cannot even say how you're doing to somebody, because people will, do you know me? Why are you speaking to me? And this is where unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. You go to say, how you doing? Hello, how you doing, sir? What's up, bro? Man, you know me? What, we homies or something? You my friend? They want to fight. One who seeks his own desire, they are quarrelsome and hot-tempered. You ever had somebody just want to fight with you just because this is who they are? This is their character. This is their nature. They look for anything and anyone they can vent their problems at because they don't want to deal with who they are. They're quarrelsome, hot-tempered. These are people who basically have no love in their heart. This is what the Bible says about Jeremiah 17:9 when he says, the heart is desperately wicked. These people are quarrelsome and hot-tempered. Why do people act like that? They act like that because they're not saved. They have not come into the portal of regeneration and salvation. They have not come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Therefore, they don't know how to vent their anger and let it go. They don't know how to get rid of it. They don't know how to discern when the devil is trying to use them and play them. This is why they do what they do. In Proverbs 3:21, he says, my son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. We're called to walk in discretion and sound wisdom as believers. Now, the world is going to do what the world is going to do because the world is lost. The world hates God. The world does not know God. The world does not want God. Or they talk about a God, but it's not the God of Scripture. It's the God of Scripture. It's the God that they've made in their own mind, this pocket God. You know, either it's that pocket God or it's this God that loves everybody and everything that they do. Now we live in a society now where you just got to love everybody in their sin and how they sin and accept their sin. No, sir, no, ma'am, I will not. I will love you with the love of Christ, and the love will always bring truth. The love will always come with truth. If you break into my house and I didn't invite you in, you're a thief. I can't call you a friend. You broke in. You stole. If you come in there with a gun and you shoot at me, you tried to kill me. You're a murderer. Proverbs 8:14 says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. Counsel is mine. See, the reason we don't get ahead or we don't seem to be moving forward, we don't go to the one who is able to answer the questions. We don't go and seek the one who is able to give us wise counsel. We don't look to God. We don't look to God. And we're living in some very lawless times, friends. We're living in some times where, hey, cops are, there's a most wanted out for Christians. There's most wanted out for cops. There's most wanted out for homosexuals. Everybody's got a target on them. You know why? Because the father of lies has painted that target on them. And you can do, everybody is extinct. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God said he came to give us life and life more abundantly. Are we ready to receive the life that he came to give us? Matthew Henry's commentary says in verse 1, if we would get knowledge and grace, we must try all methods of improving ourselves. Those make nothing to purpose of learning or religion whose only design is to have something to make a show of, show with. In other words, when you see, again, in Proverbs 18:1, this person who isolates himself, this person who is someone way out there, he doesn't want to be around people. He's not a part of the family of God. He's isolated. He's out there in the boondocks. He's kind of doing his own thing. This man seeks selfish gratification. A man or woman who basically is a loner, not by way of they're just a loner to be a loner because they don't trust people. This is a person that's selfish in their own desires. They have no concern for nobody but themselves. If they were to get married, it would be all about them in the marriage. What they could get from a wife. In other words, she would be something that they could just use and manipulate. If they had a puppy or a dog, they'd kick the dog around because they don't care about nobody but themselves. They're selfish and self-centered. Selfish and self-centered people do not have the love of God in them, so they cannot do anything for the kingdom of God. Only thing they can do is repent and come to the cross and be saved. And this person, they selfish gratification and accepts advice from no one. You can't counsel with them. You can't talk to them with wisdom. They have it all figured out. Man, you can't tell me nothing. You ever want to try to talk to somebody and talk some sense into them? You know, we got teenagers. You try to talk to them, and these young people nowadays, I tell you, friends, you'd be better off talking to a wall than to talk to some of these young people because they do not want to hear anything with wisdom in it. Wisdom now is foolishness to them. That's how foolish they are. They think wisdom is foolishness. And God is trying to tell us, friends, don't be like that. Don't be someone that's walking around here trying to fix your fix by yourself. God has given gifted people in the body of Christ, pastors, teachers, leaders. I'm not talking about false teachers. You don't never sit up and take advice from a false teacher. Never go and listen to a fool try to counsel you in wisdom. They have no wisdom. They're fools. But you know, if you got the Holy Spirit in you, guess what? You know who's speaking truth, and you know who's speaking damnable lies. You know this. All you got to do is just pick your word up. And then notice if they don't pick the word up, how can somebody counsel you with a closed Bible or no scripture? They're giving you nothing but opinions. Not gonna be beneficial to you, friend. Not going to be beneficial to you. Notice here in verse 2. Verse 2, we see a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Same thing I just said. They take no pleasure. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding. In other words, I don't want to hear what you got to say, or yeah, whatever. You notice this has become a culture of young people saying this. Well, whatever. Man, it don't even matter no more. Yeah, you know, whatever. I ain't worried about it. Well, where is this? I ain't worried about it. It don't matter. Where is this coming from? Of course it matters. Life matters. Choices we make matter. They have a distinct. It's either going to work in your behalf or it's going to work against you. choices that we make, either they're going to be good and wise choices, or they're going to be foolish, and they're going to be destructive choices. If I sit and think long enough about, well, let me see if I can go out here and rape some woman, and I sit and meditate that long enough, I sit and think about that long enough, and I start to convince myself and talk to myself long enough, I become a fool. A fool that will start to think wrong and go and act upon those wrong decisions. All you got to do is start to think. The Bible says, as a man think of, so is he. All you got to do is start meditating on something long enough, and you'll convince yourself what you're doing is right. Whether it's having an affair, going to get drunk, going out there steal, kill, whatever it is. All you got to do is just meditate on it long enough, and you'll convince yourself that it was a wise choice. But a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. See, my opinion means nothing when it's wrong, especially when it's wrong. If my opinion don't have no foundation in the word of truth, in God's word, then it's just like your opinion, which means nothing. I might consider your opinion, but I'm going to filter it somewhere. I'm looking for chapter and verse of what I can do with that opinion. Does it line up in anywhere in Scripture? Because opinions are based on emotions and feelings, which are very dangerous in this day and age, because many men have become so effeminate with their feelings and emotions. And that's a very dangerous place to be in this day and age. See, we already got enough with the women. They got emotions and feelings, which, praise God, they do. I don't mind a woman having emotions. That's what God gave her. But when we see men who claim to be ambassadors, preachers, teachers of God's word, and they seem to be walking around in their emotions all the time, what they feel, and they all whiny and they all bent over acting like they just lost their dog. And men need to be men. Stop listening to the world. The world is trying to tell us right now there's no distinction between male or female, friends. Oh, yes, it is. I got 3 kids from a woman. It didn't come from a man. Where are we getting this stuff from? I'll tell you where we're getting it from, that liar, Satan. And guess what? Our culture has been indoctrinated from the White House down to the church house now. We have accepted everything except God's word. All 66 books don't have a place in the church no more, because we're so concerned about feelings and emotions, and we can care less about what God's word says. Again, he tells a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. Don't listen to the opinion of a fool. It's not going to benefit you. Not going to benefit you at all. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12 through 14, real quick. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12 through 14, we're told here, the words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. Verse 13, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil and madness. Woo! And number 14, a fool multiplies words, though no man knows what is to be. And who can tell him what will be after him? Notice what he says here in verse 12. The words of a wise man's mouth win him favor, but the lips of a fool consume him. The lips of a fool, it's like a volcano. I ain't gonna say a volcano. What's something that will consume you? It basically just sucks you up like a. You ever see one of those lakes where they have a vortex in there and it's spinning around and around, and you see trash just going into this sinkhole? That's what a fool is. That's what the words of a fool are. They consume him like some vortex. It just sucks him up. He's being sucked, consumed by his lips, the foolish lips. But it says the words of a wise man win him favor. And notice in verse 13, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil and madness. You got a lot of folks out here, they out here talking crazy. I never forget, it was about 3-4 weeks, maybe almost a month ago. I was on the bus stop, man, and this dude just got to rattling on, and he was just talking madness.
He was sounding like such a fool. And he was having the nerves to try to tell me about the Bible. But he's talking about some black Israelite, and the black man is this, and the black man is that. And I'm sitting here listening, and I said a few things, and I said, brother, I said, you know what? I'm going to let you do what you do. I wanted to say I'm going to let a fool be a fool, but, you know, I'm at a bus stop. I'm not trying to get into no altercation, but it just goes to show you how people, they just basically make the Bible come alive every day. You all you got to do is read the Proverbs, and you'll find out what a fool is standing around, going to different places, go to a bus stop, and just listen to people rattle on. See how people talk. Again, he says the beginning of the words, the beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is evil and madness. What he starts out with is foolish. What he ends with is madness, perversion, twisted, perverted. Verse 14 again, a fool multiplies his words though no man knows what is to be. He just keeps on. He's saying a bunch of words, but he's not saying nothing. He wants to talk very intellectual sometimes, but he's not making any sense. He's just rattling on. He's rattling on and on and on. And he really convinced in his own mind that he's wise, but he's a fool. He's a fool. She's a fool. Friends, we got to be wise. We got to be wise in these last days. And you know what? The more I get into the Word of God, and I'm no scholar, I'm no theologian, I don't have a degree, but friends, God can use any of us if we're ready to receive wisdom, if we want to know Him, if we want to grow in His Word. Don't let your pastor be your first and last time you pick up your Bible. Don't be that Sunday morning worshiper where you pick up your Bible on Sunday and the rest of the week you ain't picking up nothing but junk. You're feeding your mind with fools. You're feeding your ears with the foolishness of this world. Go back in Proverbs, in verse 18, verse 1, remember he says, unfriendly people care only about themselves. They lash out at common sense. One who seeks his own desire. They are quarrelsome and high-tempered. Galatians 5:20 tells us this, part of the works of the flesh, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger and selfish ambition, dissension and division. These are the works of the flesh. This is what people do when they're in their flesh, in their mess, and they live for it. We're not talking about somebody that had a moment. This is who they are 90% of the week, 90% of the month. Or they go to church and they put on a mask of religion. See, that put on, oh, pastor, look at me. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Rest of the week, they out there, you know, dropping it like it's hot, whatever. Sowing to the flesh. Idolatry, sorcery, which is a form of medicinary, pharmakia, where we get our word pharmacy. These are people who basically indulge themselves, got to smoke the trees with the wacky tobacco, snort the cocaine, drink up the drink, whatever it is. Got to alter my state of mind, get my mind right. You ever see these folks on YouTube, these fools, who basically always talking about it and lifting up the fact that they get high 90% of the time? Sorcery. That's what they're practicing, friend. These are people who are idolaters. They're full of sorcery. And you notice people that's into drugs and stuff, hostile, quarrelsome, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish, ambition, dissensions, and division. Not good look. This should not be the heart of a believer, one who is born again. This should not be the action of a believer who is born again of the Spirit, if you are born again of the Spirit. You do not want to be this person. That's playing hypocrite. Or I want to have one foot in the world, and I want to have one foot in the church. You're not in the church by putting your foot in it. You're in the church when you were born again of the Spirit. We don't go to church, friends. We are the church. We go to a place where we fellowship as a community of believers. But we don't go to a church. The church is not a building made with hands. The church is us. Holy Spirit lives in me. Holy Spirit lives in you, the believer. I know we say these things, but we need to get the right mindset about what the church is. I can have church out in the driveway,
If I set some chairs out there and I get people to come in, I preach. I can have church in the parking lot of Walmart. I can have the church in a park. We can have church anywhere. God is not restricted to a building. But he does come. He's only in the building of a believer's temple. The Holy Spirit comes in us. Proverbs 18:3 says this. New Living Testament translation says, doing wrong leads to disgrace, and scandalous behavior brings contempt. Contempt, dishonor, and scorn. Wow. Doing wrong leads to disgrace. Oh, not in today's church. Not in today's world. Not in this nation. The more you do wrong, the more we lift that up. Oh, the pastor, all the way down, friends, you could be doing wrong, and guess what? You can't judge nothing. Judge not, lest you be judged. Let the pastor be having an affair. We shuffle it up under the rug. I ain't saying all churches. I ain't saying all fellowships. But we shuffle it, we sweep it up under the rug, and we keep on lifting it. Hey, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Doing wrong leads to disgrace. Not in today's society. The more evil you do, the more wrong you do, the more we lift that up. Scandalous behavior brings contempt. No, not today. You're in a scandal. I remember before, this about maybe 3-4 years ago in Houston, there was a pastor and the son who both were sleeping with this woman. The pastor was married. The son was sleeping with the woman. The pastor was sleeping with the woman. And next thing you know, they both were trying to kill the wife. They plotted to kill the wife of the pastor so they can, I guess they was going, afterwards, they was going to kill each other and find out, you know, who was going to get the mistress. This stuff goes on all over, friends. Every time you turn around, there's a scandal on the internet or something of a pastor falling from grace. And it's a disgrace. It's not a good thing. I'm not talking about sinless perfection, friends, but I'm talking about integrity. If there's no integrity in the God's kingdom with the leaders, then why do we want to follow them? Why do we want to sit up under them? We should sit up under nobody if they're not going to be accountable. And this is what the proverb says. Doing wrong leads to disgrace, and scandalous behavior brings contempt. Contempt, dishonor, and scorn. It's a scornful thing when you find that in the pulpit, when the pastor got his wife, his mistress, and maybe a side boo over here, and they all are there at church, and they all got his kids with them. That's not a good look. Not a good look. Psalm 31:17 in the New Living Testament, he says, do not let me be disgraced, O Lord, for I call out to you for help. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them lie silent in the grave. You notice what David, says, do not let me be disgraced. David had a heart for God. And he was, even though David messed up, we all know David sinned. He did some foul stuff. But one thing David did was he repented of his sin. He didn't stay in his mess. He got caught up in his flesh. And then we're not majoring in the minor. David had a heart for God. He says, do not let me be disgraced, O Lord. Psalms 31:17. For I call out to you for help. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them lie silent in the grave. See, the enemies of God, were after David. When David got back in right standing with God, guess what? He became an enemy. He became an enemy to his own son. His son tried to kill him. You know, all around him, evil was coming. Saul was trying to kill him. We see so much, you know, when you're trying to do the right thing, you're not going to be received well. Not going to be received well. Proverbs 18:4. Proverbs 18:4. We see here, he tells us here again, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. A fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. The words of a man's mouth are like deep water. The wise words are like deep water. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. A wise man's words are refreshing and a source of life. people gather around a truly wise person. Look, when you are speaking wisdom, when you know what you're talking about according to God's word, people will listen because they know that you mean what you say and you say what you mean. Not only that, but you have a standard of, hey, the words of God are true. Now, I'm nowhere near perfect. I ain't going to even sit here and try to convince you I'm perfect. He says, the words of a wise are like deep water. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. You ever sit there and listen to somebody who was just talking foolishness? And you're sitting there, man, why are we listening to this? Why? What is this dude talking about? You know, who is he talking to? We just see so much. And in these last days, friends, people seem like they go to school and major in foolishness. The young people nowadays, they know more about what's going on with Jay-Z and Drake and Lil Weezy and all these other folks, but nobody knows who's going on with Jesus Christ. We know how to lay, play. We know how to do all that, but we don't know nothing about Jesus. Nothing. What we do for Jesus is you know, hey, well, you know, Jesus just the Lord of mine. He just saved me, and I'm just going. But I mean, we know what's going on at the club, who going to be at the club, who doing who at the club. We know all the things of the world, but we know nothing about the word. And we take pride in ignorance of God's word, and Satan takes pride in you being a fool because he loves it. You notice one thing about the devil? He don't care. He'll give you everything you want down here so you go to hell. He don't care about you. The enemy of your soul wants to kill you. And guess what he does? He's setting you up. He's setting you up. I want y'all to take a look at this. This is one of my cards. See what it says here. See what it says here. That's my card. I'm going to read it to you. Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's word. That's his greatest weapon. I don't care if you read it. He don't care if you read it. He don't care if you carry it. He don't care how many classes you take. Just don't apply it. And he say, I still got you. You still mine. Just keep on living in your flesh and your mess and watch you and me will meet on the day of judgment. Because, see, Satan already knows he is not going to heaven. He knows there's no redemption for him. There's no repentance for him. Satan knows that he, at the end of this time, when God will give up the dead, when the second death comes, Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, he knows that in the day of judgment, he knows where he's going to spend eternity. And guess what? He's looking for company. He cares nothing about you and me. He already have disciples out there that's working for him. These are the fools that basically go around doing foolish things and living in foolish behavior. I had earlier today, there was a young lady that was on a social media site, and she was trying to proposition me. And I'm trying to tell her that what you're doing is not wise. Where you going and what you're doing, I've been there. She's about 29, same age as my oldest daughter. And she's sitting there steady talking about her flesh and what she's looking for. And I'm saying, no, what you're really looking for, you're looking to fill a void in your heart that's empty. And you think that sex is going to give you some kind of completion. And you'll be looking for it today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, until you come to the cross. Until you come to Jesus, all you're going to do is look for some man to try to fill a void. Don't you know Satan is the biggest pimp out here, my friends? And there's many people out here that's pimping themselves, many women out here pimping their bodies out for the sake of trying to find love. And these guys don't know what love is. They know what phileo is. Phileo is not the love that, I mean, they know what eros is. They know the love of the flesh. We all know that. Dogs know that. The animal kingdom know eros. But God is trying to give us a love that's greater than the flesh, my friends. He's trying to give us a love that supersedes that. It's a spiritual love. It's a selfless love. This love only comes from those of him above. It comes from Jesus. And if you're trying to find love in any other person or any other thing, you're going to be gravely disappointed. There will be no love in nothing or no one else other than Jesus Christ.
And you'll never be satisfied with, I don't care, even your husband or wife, their love can never supersede the love of God. It can't. It can't. Again, Proverbs 18:5, I'll read it again. He tells us here, he says, it is not good to be partial to the wicked. I'm sorry, I read the wrong one. Verse 4. Proverbs 18:4. The words of a man's mouth are like deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. You want to have deep wisdom. You want to have wisdom that comes from above. You must go to the one who has the living water. Jesus Christ told the woman at the well. He said, "If you drink of me, you will never thirst again. You'll never be thirsty." See, we're too busy looking for living water everywhere else, but in Christ. We're still looking to try to fill a void in someone other than Jesus. And some of y'all are miserable trying to find that love that only can come from Christ. Proverbs 18:5 says, "It is not right to acquit the guilty or deny justice to the innocent. We should never show partiality or favoritism of any kind to the wicked." That's the New Living Translation I'm reading from. So it might be a different in your translation if you're King James or New King James. It is not right to acquit the guilty or deny justice to the innocent. Do we not see a system of law that's broken in America and around the world? Do we or do we not see injustice going on? And I'm not trying to make this about race, friends, because I know the real problem. The real problem is the human race that's lost, the race of humanity which do not have a relationship with the King of Glory. Because, see, when we get our minds right with God, then our hearts will get right, and then our behavior will line up. Until we do that, friends, we can't talk about, you know, we're not better than whites. Whites are not better than us. It's no Hispanic race. The only race God recognizes is the redeemed race, the human race, that he bought and purchased with his own blood. And until we get in line with his word, we're going to still be outside looking in, trying to find love in all the wrong places. We're not going to find it. He says it's not right to acquit the guilty or deny justice to the innocent. God is for righteous. He's for right ruling. He wants the court of law, the system of law that's set up. It came from Scripture. There's a whole book called the Book of Judges. That's where our legal system started, right there, the Book of Judges. God set men and women in a place to judge the nation of Israel, because Israel was a theocracy under the rulership of God, and he put mankind to rule over it and to judge what was good and evil, right and wrong. And we have a court of system, a court of law, but it's broken. You know why? Because too many men and women are perverting it. We don't look at this book anymore and find truth in it. We basically have reinvented the rules of law to fit who we want them to fit. Malachi 3:5-6, he said, "At that time I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies." You notice what God says? God says nobody gets away with anything. There are people in jail right now because of a broken legal system, because man's perversion of the law. There's a broken legal system right now. Notice what he says. At that time, Malachi says, at that time, he says, "I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers." These were people who had these magic incantations. They would go into and basically stir up and make these potions. They were magicians. They were magicians of the day. They had their potions and their drinks and their toxins that would take them into altered states of consciousness, that would allow them to go into these frenzies. And they called themselves prophets, speaking on behalf of God or speaking for God, but God wasn't speaking through them. It basically conjured up a seducing spirit. And these adulterers and liars
He says, I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages. In other words, God says people should be paid fairly for what they do. They should be paid fairly and just. Nobody's going to get away with anything. On the day of judgment, my friends, God is going to judge every single person, especially those who have not repented. He says, who oppress widows and orphans, and who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven. He says, I am the Lord, verse 6, and I do not change. That is why you descend, your descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. He was giving them an opportunity to repent, but it was going to come a time when they was going to have to stand and have to give an account. We're going to have to give an account. Look, I've heard it said, if God does not judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. And I believe that. I really believe that. But God is going to judge America. He's already judging America. America just don't know. She's under the crosshairs of an almighty God. We don't fear God, so guess what? God has no choice but to judge us. The church is good. Those of us who are in Christ, living for Christ, doing what we're supposed to be doing, working out our salvation with fear and trembling, you have nothing to fear. But just look at what's happening in our culture right now with a godless society. Lawlessness is all around. Hateful. People are being hateful. People are being malicious. They don't seem to know what love is except if it benefits them. Look, most men nowadays, they tell these women, baby, you know I love you, but then they got 15 other women they tell them the same thing to. You do the math on that. Now, if the man loves you, why is he cheating on you all the time? If the woman loves you, why is she cheating on you all the time? See, people don't know what love is. And we listen to these silly rap songs from these ungodly people who try to basically denigrate what a relationship is. You know, these blanks ain't loyal no more and all this other foolishness, friends. Only people you can trust is people who have been born again, who have their eyes open to the cross of Christ. Because without the cross of Christ, friends, you're spiritually blind. You're spiritually dead in your trespasses and sins. You do not see what God has for you to see because you will not receive his grace and mercy. You won't receive his forgiveness and be taken to the cross and be forgiven of your trespasses and sins. God has all the answers. We just need to seek him in the book of wisdom. We need to seek him through his word. Don't let this be a coffee table book. That's what most people got. They got their big Bible in their house, and it's a coffee book. It's a coffee table. It's sitting on the coffee table, never get open. The pages are sticking together, brand new. Again, what did I share with you? Again, Satan's greatest weapon is man's ignorance of God's word. That's what he wants you to do, friends. He wants you to stay ignorant and dumbed down. Oh, just carry the Bible. Just don't read it. Oh, read the Bible. Just don't apply it. Talk about the Bible. Just don't live it. All of that. That's what he loves. And friends, I want us to get out of this mindset, especially us as African Americans. It's not us against them. It's us against the works of Satan. This is a spiritual warfare. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. These things we wrestle against is our own thoughts. If you think that a person is evil because of their color, friend, you need to go back to the cross, because somebody can say the same about us. And this is what the devil been doing since the beginning of time. It's been us. He's been trying to put us against God. And there's no white or black or Hispanic or none of these churches. The Church of Jesus Christ is made up of people of all tribes, all nations, from all walks of life, who have been born again by the Spirit. Not of flesh and blood. We already had that experience. We came through the womb. Y'all watch those, see those memes sometime? There was a meme with Chuck Norris on it. And it said, yeah, I was once inside a woman until my mother gave birth to me, and then I was born a man. I love it. See, all this foolishness we hear from the world, friends, no, I can't buy into it. You're not going to, as they say, you're not going to pee on my leg and tell me it's rain. This is what the world is trying to do. They're trying to get us to stop thinking the way God wants us to think, and they want us to change what God said in his word. And he's already spoken, and he said he don't change. So why are we changing his word around? I don't hate homosexuals or anybody else, but I just don't agree with your lifestyle. I'm not going to accept it as normal. I'm not going to ever say that's a lifestyle that God has induced. I mean, endorses. You can do what you want, but you know this. You, for me, you get the truth. I will love you with the truth, and the truth will set you free if you repent of your sins and turn to Jesus. But hey, look, I'm not a dog. I'm never going to be a dog. I'll never start walking around on all fours talking about roof, roof, feed me. I'm not going to be feeding over a trough or a bowl, fetching sticks or none of that, because I'm a man. I was born as a man. God didn't make me an animal. So why are people trying to go around talking about I was born this and I was born that? This is nothing but a lie of the devil, and we need to stop listening to this deception, this spirit, this lying, seducing spirit that comes from the one who is trying to kill, steal, and destroy us as a human race. Proverbs 18:6 says, Fool's words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. That's 6 and 7. Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. Fool's words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. Oh. You ever seen somebody just... And I know when we was younger, and even now you see this going on YouTube, you see the foolishness that's going on with young ladies out here and dudes out here fighting, and people just sitting up here filming YouTube videos of people just fighting because they've been talking smack to each other, because they've been calling each other out. This is the normal on Facebook and Twitter and all these other places. And we sensationalize this foolishness. Just madness all over the world, my friends. People just do whatever they want to do. I saw a video in Florida. I don't know how long ago it was. It was sometime in the last 2 or 3 months, though. This woman was stark naked out there in Miami Beach, Florida, in a fast food hamburger place where it was a restaurant, Johnny Rockets. That's where she was at. Just straight up naked. And she's on the table, laying down, and people are just fondling her. Men are just doing whatever they want with her. And she's bragging about it the next day on social media until they came and arrested her, of course, for a lewd and indecent act. The fool's words get them into constant quarrels. They are asking for a beating. The mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. I don't know when, and of course she went in there and her next excuse was, I'm bipolar, I got mental problems, I got all these other things. But she was butt naked walking around in there and guys are putting their hands all between her legs and ungodly things were going on. And of course, this has become normal behavior around the world, around the country. We seem to glamorize perversion, immorality of all kinds, and this is another problem with a society that has no moral compass. You know, we talk about Jesus, but what Jesus? It must be Jesus, because it ain't the Jesus of Scripture. It's the Jesus of Scripture. But you notice this, the fool's words get them into constant quarrels. You got people, they open their mouth, and the first time they open their mouth, it's always a fight going on. They're asking for a beat because they don't know when to be quiet. They don't know when to hush. They don't know when it's time to be silent and not say anything, being wise. It's a time that you don't say anything. You don't have to be right all the time. Or you don't have to just spout out. I ain't afraid of nobody. I ain't going to let nobody tell me what to do. You don't. You can do whatever you want to do, but guess what? The consequences still come. Also, the last part says, a fool is quick to quarrel. Their mouth mouths trap them every time. So we have to be real careful. Some of us know, some of y'all know y'all hot-tempered. So if you know you're a hot-tempered person, you have to exercise discretion and exercise wisdom and say, you know what? This is not worth it. Let me walk away. Let me turn and walk away. See, because God, you know, some of us, God is still working on our, working out our salvation with fear and trembling. So we need to be wise and not say anything. Sometimes you just have to turn and walk away. You don't have to answer a fool. Be wise. Turn, walk away. Be smart enough to say, you know what? I'm just going to move on. It's not worth it. Be the wise one. Be the one that stands up and says, Lord, this is not what you want. You didn't call me to this. Or just shut up. Don't say anything. You start praying in the spirit. You start asking God and thanking God for wisdom. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for silencing you, putting your hands over your mouth and basically saying, Lord, keep me from being a fool right now. I want to exercise discretion. I want to be like Jesus. When he was being rebuked, when he was being attacked at the time of his crucifixion, when they was getting ready to come at him, when he was standing there at Nero's house, and he was basically being put on trial, he didn't sit there and say, I'm the Lord of heaven. You bow down to me. He didn't do that. He basically didn't say anything. He said, you say you're the king of the Jews? He said, you say so. He didn't sit there and he could have called down a legion of angels. He could have called down one angel, destroyed everybody if he wanted to. He chose not to say nothing. Read Isaiah 53 and see what he did. Proverbs 18:8 says, rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Rumors promote dissension. Rumors can destroy good characters. Rumors may be delicious to hear and to repeat, but they are deadly. We have to be very careful about who we're listening to, too, friends. Don't let people come and just want to tell you every bit of stories. It's not healthy for you to hear every bit of gossip. Gossip is not good anyway. It's not godly. So don't just take it in to every bit of, every time you hear something. We have to be very wise in what we listen to and who we listen to it from. Now, if it's going to be used to help somebody and build somebody up and basically you can minister to them, that's one thing. But if you're using it to spread it around and you spread this dissension around, that's not of God. That's of the world. That's the flesh, the devil, and the world, and we're not supposed to be in it. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Rumors promote dissension, and dissension breaks apart relationships. They destroy good characters. And people in these last days, friends, your character might be the only thing you have. You know, people can't get hired now because of bad character and integrity. You might not have ever stole anything, but if they go now, they look on your Facebook now to see what type of character you represent. What's your integrity? Does your page have a bunch of people naked, twerking, or what are you selling? What is your Facebook sell say to the company that you're trying to get hired with? Are you showing all your tattoos? Because now that could be a red flag. Because these tattoos, they have symbolic meaning. A lot of them do. We need to be careful about that. What are we really promoting on our Facebook page or social media pages will tell the company that's trying to hire you who you are and what you are. The opposite, Proverbs 16:21 says, the wise are known for their understanding and pleasant words and pleasant words are persuasive. In other words, when we encourage one another and lift up one another and build up one another, guess what? We're raising up their standard. Like I shared with you earlier about the gentleman who I talked to today about this radio program and the opportunity to take this ministry to another place, to foreign countries where they don't even have internet. And the shortwave radio can reach out to the masses, around 25 million listeners on 5 different radio stations that I might have an opportunity to be a part of. See, if I'm sitting there and my character and our conversation was that of tearing down instead of building up, then this man wouldn't want to do no business with me. He wouldn't want to be a part of what, basically say, I can't use you, man, because, you know, hey, now you just don't fit what we looking for. See, when you stand on integrity and character, it means a little something. It means a little something. Proverbs 18:9, we're about to finish these up. We got about four more. Proverbs 18:9, he says this, a lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. To leave a work half done or poorly done is to destroy. Or our testimony is seen by our work and our work ethic. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Wow. Is that not the truth, my friend? Wow. You know, a lazy person, someone who just don't want to do nothing. They want to get paid for 8 hours, but they ain't going to do nothing but 2 hours. I don't really need to say much about this. Again, it's pretty much said. A lazy person is as bad as someone who destroys things. To leave a work half done or poorly done is to destroy. Our testimony is seen by our work and our work ethic. Who we are and what we are is always demonstrative by the work that we do. If we do shady work, half-hearted work, then guess what? It shows them, the company, and everybody else that we really don't take pride in it, and we're basically showing the world that we're really not really earning a fair wage every day. We're not really doing what God has called us to do. He gave us the job. Everything we do, we're supposed to work as unto the Lord. So the encouragement here is not to be lazy. If you struggle with that, hey, repent and ask God for strength so you give him the best. And your employee will see that. See, we get favor. We don't know how God is going to use the wicked or the ungodly in our work environment. You might have a stone heathen there that do not know God. But you don't know how God can use that person and the light that you shine to raise up where you be able to give favor, and they don't even know why they're giving favor. They can't stand your God. They mocked you. They ridiculed you. They talked about you. But guess what? God was there to give you favor. He had a plan for you. And you're there to be light in a dark place. And that's all God wants to do, is to make us light in dark places. The issue is, are we going to turn the switch on? Are we going to go into the job, into the work environment, and turn the switch on and be productive for the King of Glory? Because he didn't have to get on the cross, friends. Jesus said he was working the work that his Father sent him to do. Because night comes and no man works. So our Lord and Savior was working when he was here. His work was to save souls. His work was to bring darkness, bring the light to the darkness, and to bring sinners to repentance. Proverbs 18:10 tells us this, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. Wow, I love this. This is something that we can take very strong encouragement, and we can take this to the bank, friends. It's not just having the name of the Lord. It's not just calling on the name of the Lord. You don't call on the name of the Lord like you call on the Kool-Aid man. Hey, Kool-Aid! No, you call on the name of the Lord because you have a relationship with him. You are in a relationship with him. You are not just a church goer. You are not just a Bible reader. You are not just one who hears the word, but you're one who is living the word, one who is actively walking with the word. You're actively standing on the word, and the word of God is transforming you and making you a new creation more and more as you surrender your will and you run into this place of safety. This fortress. See, this is about being in a relationship, because the Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. She is a new creation. Old things have passed away. This is a true portal of regeneration, friends. I tell you all the time, this is the butterfly being transformed into the I mean, this is a caterpillar being transformed into the butterfly. Oh, man. Dang. Ooh.
Boy.
Sorry about that. I hate when that happens, but I've been having some problems, and I thought my internet was fixed. We'll give everybody a chance to boot up. We'll get back. Hopefully, we can get people back online. I hate when that happens. Had a little problem with Facebook Live. Again, 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is a call-in number for those who, and hopefully those are listening live on the Blog Talk and listening through Blog Talk Radio. God bless you again. We'll be finishing this up. Just give me a few minutes. I'm waiting for just getting back to this. But anyway, like I was saying, in Proverbs 18, where was I at? Devil is a lie. Again, this is a portal of regeneration, my friends. This is a strong tower that when we came to Jesus, friends, we have ran into the one who is able to save our soul, redeem our soul, the one who is able to regenerate us and make us a new creation and a new soul. We are no longer children of the dark. We're no longer children of the night. We're children of the day. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. See, when you're encumbered, when you're embodied in the when you're embodied in Christ, friends, you're protected by the walls. Jesus Christ is our safety. He's the one surrounding us, and he's protecting us from the evil one, Lucifer himself. He's protecting us from our own problems, our own sinfulness, because we are our own worst enemies at times. When it's all said and done, friend, we get ourselves in more trouble than anything because we make unwise choices. But he tells us that the godly, he doesn't say the wicked. He says the godly can run into the godly. Notice again, Proverbs 18:10. He says the godly run to him and are safe. We need to be assured of that. See, if you don't have a Christ, if your Lord is not one you can run into his arms for safety, if you can't run into his surroundings and be held and loved on by Jesus, friends, who are you going to go and be loved on by? Who's going to do the loving on you? And in today's society, friends, so many people, again, are trying to find love in everything and everybody but Jesus. Oh, we talk about Jesus, but we seem to want to trust in the world with all our heart instead of trusting in the Lord with all our heart. And we want to lean on the world and not lean on the one who is able to save us and redeem us, the one who is able to carry our burdens, the one who is able to take away the anxiety from us. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to him and are safe. I want you to be assured of that, friends. When the disciples knew that the tomb was empty, they ran immediately to try to find out if it was true. They wanted to see if the tomb was truly empty. They wanted to know where their Lord and Savior had been taken. Maybe you're still today looking for where's your Lord and Savior. Maybe you have not truly surrendered and let go of this world, the flesh, and the devil. You're trying to find love in places that you still cannot seem to find. And we're getting older now. Some of us are closer to 50, maybe some 60 here today, maybe some in their 30s or 40s, but guess what, friends? We cannot afford to be looking for something that we already should have found in the person of Jesus Christ if we claim to be the godly who run to him. God doesn't want us running to him with all our sin and all our junk. He doesn't want us running into him with the things of the world. He wants us to leave that at the cross and run to him. He wants us to know without a doubt that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except by him. No man, no woman.
Don't think that you can find your fix or you can fix your problems with some man or some woman, and that man or woman don't even know the Lord. They can't encourage you in the things of, in the spiritual things of God, in His Word, without the Word of God. See, you better, if anybody's going to give you some wisdom, they better be giving it to you from the book of wisdom, God's Word. They better be encouraging you with the Word of God. See, this is how we stay strong and built up in our faith. We're in a battle, friends. This is spiritual warfare. The devil is killing. He's stealing. He's destroying. And many of us are walking around naked because we have not put the armor on. We don't realize that we're standing and fighting. We're trying to fight in the flesh. And it's a spiritual battle going on around us. And we have yet to pick up the full armor of God and put it on. And we're walking around on the battlefield naked. I spent 15 years in the military. When I was in Saudi Arabia in the Gulf, guess what? We didn't go nowhere without a weapon, our flat gear, and all our warfare utilities. And I wasn't in a combat MOS, but you still had to have your weapon and ammunition. You had to have what it required to be out there, because if you were out there and you got caught up and you didn't have a weapon, what were you going to fight with? And many people today, many people in the body of Christ are walking around without the weapon of warfare. Psalm 27, verse 7 and 8 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Verse 8, they have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. See, you can only say that when you know Him. When you know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul said, my only desire was to know Him and the power of His resurrection, Philippians 3. Paul wanted to have, he had a relationship. A true relationship. It wasn't in the law. It was in the one who had fulfilled the law. It was in the relationship with Christ. And he said, my only desire was to know, I just want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Friends, do you know what it means to be resurrected in Christ? Do you know what it means to have this relationship that you have truly surrendered yourself to Him? And you're not perfect. We're not sinless. God is still working on us, but He can only work on us when we have surrendered. When we truly have a desire to be more like Him and less like ourselves. And yes, we get carnal sometimes. Yes, we get emotional. Yes, we get fleshly. Yes, we get stupid and foolish. But that should not be the standard of out of a month. How many days do we play in quicksand, and how many days do we stand on the firm foundation of God's Word? What do? How many days do we give to Christ, and how many days belong to us? Because we have days like that. We do. But that should not be who we are. That should not define who we are. Who we are should be defined by Scripture and our attitude and our lifestyle that we are desiring. Psalms again, Psalms 20, verse 7 and 8. He says, some trust in chariots and in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Don't just remember it. Oh, I just remember the name of the Lord. No, he's talking about having a relationship. All of these are relational terms. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Don't you realize Christ has raised us up in newness? We are no longer children who are dead in our trespasses and sins, but we are made new because of the finished work of Calvary. And we're no longer enemies of the cross. But now we are children, sons and daughters. And Christ is coming to get His bride soon. Are we preparing ourselves? Are we individually preparing ourselves for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because He can come any time now. He can come at any time. See those people polishing their chariots and those others grooming their horses? But we're making garlands for God, our God. The chariots will rust, those horses will pull up lame, and we'll be on our feet standing tall. See, you can't trust in the things down here. In other words, don't put your hope in none of your possessions. Don't put your hope in anything that you own on this planet, because those things will fade away. Those things will dissipate. They're going to get old.
You get a Rolls Royce, whatever you get today, it can be gone tomorrow. Whatever you get today can dissipate. It can disappear. Somebody can come along and still take it away from you. But guess what, friends? What our relationship with Jesus Christ is for eternal glory. It's for eternity. We don't have to fear what's going to happen to us. Our security is not in man-made abilities. Our security is in the one who bought us, purchased us, and raised us up. And he said, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. Proverbs 18:11-12, in closing. Here's some of those who think that they have something because of their possessions. Proverbs 18:11-12 says, the rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. Verse 12, haughtiness goes before destruction. Humility precedes honor. this is so relevant in our day and culture that we live in, friends, because we live in a time now where you see so many false teachers who basically boast about their wealth. Pastors on many different TV stations all over the country, all over the world, boast about what God has given them in possessions, materialism. And I'm not knocking materialism, but I am knocking pimping God. I'm knocking the fact that we live in a society now, in a world, that basically the church has become big business and big pimping. But this is a church and synagogue of Satan. It's not the church of Jesus Christ. And this is what happens when people basically, they set themselves up to make their money a sign of more spirituality. The more things they got, the bigger house, the bigger the cars, the more car. This means more blessings. So I got to be in favor with God. It's my faith that has caused me to have these things. No, it just means you just pimped your sheep, and you got them believing that if they give you more money, or they give the quote unquote God more money, that God's going to give them more stuff back too. But you're the only one receiving. This is what happens when those who are dishonest, those who are basically crooks, crooked preachers. And see, when you look at the word perverted in the Bible, it means to make something straight crooked. When you take the word of God and try to pimp it or pervert it and make it crooked, you basically are telling God that what he's saying is a lie, and you want me to sell this lie now. Those who trust in anything other than God will fall. Those that trust in anything other than God, if you come to the cross because you want more stuff in a sign of materialism, then friends, you need to get saved, because God ain't for sale. If you came to the cross because you wanted a man, a woman, that was your first priority when you came to the cross, no, you need to get saved. God didn't save you so you can get a husband or wife. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but he saved us because we needed to be saved. None of us are righteous. We all filthy dirt bags, and we all need to be redeemed. So he didn't say, well, you know, hey, let me save Daryl so he can get this. And what do you want, Daryl? Not as you saved. I noticed that you came to the cross because you thought you was going to get this big, beautiful house and all this other stuff. No, God didn't save us for none of that. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with having a desire to be married. Praise God. I wish more people have a desire to be married, because in this culture we live in, shacking has become the new I do, even in the church. Again, that's the church of Satan, not the church of Jesus Christ. We just shack up, we lay up, play up. It doesn't matter. But notice this, friends. The rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. In other words, they think their wealth is just like this strong tower that we take refuge in Jesus. We think Jesus is a strong tower that we are surrounding ourselves by. We don't look for money and things to take refuge in, but they do. This is what they did. They basically submit themselves to their money. They think that they can build bigger walls. They are like that foolish man who tore down his barns and said, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm so wealthy. I got so much stuff that I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And God told him, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Notice in verse 12, haughtiness goes before destruction. Humility precedes honor. Most people that's rich and famous, they're full of pride and arrogance. That's why Jesus said it is more easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of glory. Why? Because pride won't let them in. Because of their money, they think they're somebody. They think they're somebody. And when you're full of that pride, friends, you get nothing. You get nowhere, and you get nothing from the cross. Only thing you can do is humble yourself, submit yourself to the King of Glory, and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And until you do that, friends, self-destruction. Self-destruction. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word, Lord. We thank you for the Spirit of God that moved us tonight, Lord God. We just pray, Lord God, that nobody here, Lord God, would just take these scriptures lightly or take them for granted, but that they would trust in the only one, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're living in some dark days, Lord. We see so much evil around us, Lord, but we also see that you're still reaching out to nations all around us, Lord, still rescuing and snatching people out of the fires of hell by bringing them out of darkness and bringing them into the light. I pray, Lord, that nobody here is lost. I pray nobody here would reject the gospel or just act like it's just another message. Today is the day of salvation, he told us in Hebrews chapter 4. If we hear the voice of the Lord, let us not harden our hearts as they did in the day of the wilderness. I pray that this message has been received in your ears, Lord, that you would use it to touch souls wherever it may be heard. We thank you and bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said amen, amen, amen. All right, my friends. All right, all right, all right. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Harvey Gardner, Sanjay, Tracy, Charnel, Angelique. God bless each and every one of you if you're still there. I want to just thank you. And I really appreciate the support tonight and the work and the encouragement. Y'all probably saw me sweating up here. I got the AC on and everything, but guess what, friends? I just start to get real. This is very serious to me. It's very personal in the sense, I mean, what God has given me in this ministry and what I do, I don't take it for granted, and you know, we shouldn't take His word for granted. And I want to thank you guys for being here. And again, for those that don't know, like I said, shared in the beginning of this program, I talked to a radio executive today for a shortwave radio program who has offered me a spot, a 15-minute spot a week to do what I've already been doing, but it's an opportunity to be able to touch people in places where they don't even have internet or radio, in a shortwave radio where they have towers that reach out to up to 25 million people around the world. So please keep me in prayer. I'm asking for those who think they might want to stand with me financially and support that. It would be like $50 for every 15 minutes, but I believe that, hey, if God opens the door, I believe He'll bring more people that will stand with us and pray. I'm going to put this from today. I'm putting this before the Lord for the next 30 days. So around the 25th of next month, I will get back to this person and let them know a definitive answer, but I want to be able to do this and know that the finances and the support will be there. So I'm just asking for those who can stand with me and are willing to support it. And if you believe in what I'm doing already and you want to see the gospel go further, pray about it for the next 30 days with me. Pray about it. I don't want nobody doing anything and feel pressured or anybody to think, oh, you know, no, I want you to do it only if the Lord has put it on your heart to do it, and only if the Lord has put it on your heart. So pray about it, see what the Lord is telling you, and I'm going to do the same. And
we'll just go from there. And I'll be announcing it every day for the next 30 days for those who have not heard it. But Lord willing, we'll be back tomorrow morning, and we'll continue in our devotional. This morning's devotional was great. We're going to do part two of Galatians chapter 2, 20 and 21. Do I nullify the grace of God? Part two. So I want you guys to join me back here on Facebook Live in the morning. We'll probably be around here maybe about 10:30, 11, depending on what time we can get up and do it. So please stand with me there. And that's pretty much all I have to say. Again, if you can come out this Thursday, Core Church of Los Angeles, located 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. Please prayerfully consider coming out there and check us out on Thursday night. And also you can check the website at www.corechurchla.org, and you can get more information on that. So, hey, to all of you, it's 9:35 p.m. To those that's on, let's see if we have any phone calls before I get off. Yeah, we don't have any phone calls. So to all you guys, I want to thank you for being here tonight. Blessings to you and your family. You didn't have to be here. You could have been anywhere else you wanted to be, but you chose to be here. And I want to just say thank you. I appreciate it. Please keep me in prayer for my health, and keep me in prayer for this ministry and taking it to the next level. And I'm really working on getting some T-shirts going, because I want you guys to promote the radio program while you're out there on the highways and byways on Blog Talk Radio. So, hey, I'm working on getting some prints done up. So please. Prayerfully consider that. And we're going to just keep on praying that God would open up new doors. Amen. So, hey, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace in these days, in these times. And may he refresh you every day of your life. In Jesus' name. And that was the man. Even if you left, we have-
And know this police coming back, snatch the kids.
Have a good night. We'll see you in the morning. God bless.